Good morning, live from Nashville, Tennessee. My name is Ashish Parekh, and welcome to another episode on the podcast for resilience. I'm joined by my lovely co-host from the United Kingdom, Dr. Estera Brilka.
Hello, everyone.
And today on our podcast, we have a very special guest, Ms. Rebecca O'Brien, who will be sharing her story on resilience with us. And for all of those who are listening to our podcast, either as a listener who's been listening to our podcast since the get-go or a first-timer, resilience is the ability to bounce back from any situation that you have faced in life. And on today's episode, we will be interviewing Ms. Rebecca and find out her story on resilience. And for that, I'd like to turn it over to my lovely co-host, Dr. Estera.
Oh, thank you, Ashish. And welcome, Rebecca. Thank you very much for accepting our invitation.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here and to listen to your story of resilience. So the first question that we always ask is about the particular situation or, you know, a series of events or an event or a challenge or a life change that made you to adapt to different life circumstances, you know, like an event of a series of events that required from you to become more resilient. So if you could share that kind of a story with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have a few stories to be honest, as I'm sure, you know, many of us do, because, you know, life is a wonderful journey, but it can also be a roller coaster at the same time.
That's true.
Yeah. I experienced a couple of different things, you know, growing up, that I believe really started, let's say, in with my core to be resilient. And that was moving halfway across the world when I was 11 years old from San Francisco to Sweden. And not knowing any Swedish, not knowing anyone there, nothing. And just, you know, basically having the carpet, like I usually say, snatched from under me in my childhood to then rebuild, you know, everything in quite a sensitive age. That was a lot. And I was put in survival mode. And that's, you know, that was a few very difficult years that I had to, you know, just basically get with the program, because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a case of me going back to the US. It was,
right.
It was, you know, just growing up and staying in Sweden.
So how was it then? You just moved with your parents, right? And
yeah.
Any language. So I guess you had to start learning very quickly.
Yeah. Exactly. And in this year, I mean, we have to also remember, it's kind of like saying my age, you know, I'm 41 and this was back in 1990. And in Sweden, there was like the, you know, today there are a lot of, you know, it's wonderfully international and many different cultures, many different people, and we speak so many different languages.
Especially in Stockholm, there are lots of foreigners.
Yes, yeah. But back then, there wasn't at all. You know, I felt, of course, very alone, and I was put in special, you know, special aid classes and special language classes. And I didn't have anyone to recognize or with myself to, you know, share this experience or have like an equal or, you know, someone to either to look to. Because also in the 90s, a lot of people that were coming to Sweden were from the war of Iran.
Yeah, like
and
refugees
Iraq.
And asylum seekers.
Refugees, yeah. So they were coming from a really, you know, a horrible situation and helpless and came there, and they had a different history from me and different background and looked different. And, you know, here was myself jumping into a Swedish culture, which was completely opposite of everything I had experienced up until then.
Yeah, because it's a completely different culture. Yeah. I mean, I used to live in Finland. I visited Sweden quite a few times. And that's probably something that cannot be really compared to California when you were, you know, brought up. So,
very different.
So how did you...
Isn't IKEA from Sweden too?
Yeah.
They are, yes, yeah.
I just know, like, you know, I've been to IKEA a few times and just, like, I think, like, the Swedish culture, like, you can feel it there, like, within IKEA. And I think that's just good that, you know, they bring that culture here to America. So
have you tried the meatballs? Have you tried?
I'm a vegetarian, so I haven't tried the meatballs.
Yeah. I mean, look at with just, I think, you know, I feel so old saying that, even though we're not old, you know, I see from ourselves we're, you know, quite close in age somewhere. And it's just looking at the cross markets of Europe influencing the US, the US influencing Europe. I mean, with Sweden, our artists, you know, so successful in music and in theater and film and movies. And it's such a cross culture today. And back then it wasn't, it was so foreign.
Yeah, I can imagine in the 90s, everything in Europe was actually not very multicultural. No. Maybe the UK a bit more because they had, the previous colonies and there were quite a lot of people already in the UK from Pakistan or India or from some African countries that were British colonies as well in the past. But other countries were not really that multicultural. There was not that much diversity. What was the thing that you've learned from that situation? What was your biggest lesson, your takeaway, you know, from moving to Sweden at that age, at the age of 10 or 11, right? And then, you know, being somehow just thrown into a completely different culture than the one that you were used to, without knowing the local language, which was something which was a very big problem at that time. So what did you learn from that?
I mean, for me, that period from like 10, 11 up till I was 20 years old, and I'll follow with that other story, is such a huge time in my life, even though it was, you know, the teenage years and we throw that in there. You know, I feel like I lived three lifetimes up until I was 26 years old, because what this taught me, kind of getting thrown in into the deep end, was both, you know, adaptability, or being able to adapt, being able to open up my eyes to the whole world, that there is a whole world out there, that you need to get with this and make it work for yourself. And, you know, no one is going to come and rescue you and force you back to the States, or force, you know, anything else. It was really, I need to make this work and be very strong about it.
And how was it for a child, you know, because you started as a child, right? So basically, it wasn't only the cross-cultural transition that you experienced at that time, but you also started, you know, growing up as a, you know, person, right? So it was probably a very difficult time for you.
Yes, yeah. I mean, those first years, I've always said they were complete hell. I was very unhappy. I was depressed. I was, you know, suicidal at like 12. Very, very low points. And with that, I can look back to it now, being older. And not blaming my parents, because, you know, they didn't know any better either. But if I could go back in that and see, you know, what support could I've had around it, was definitely, I think, someone to talk to, or like a professional therapist in such a life change and going through something like that. Mm-hmm. Being able to speak to someone, because we've always spoken very openly in my family. We're very big communicators, all of us. And we still discuss those years today. And it's still, you know, it was a big transition for my parents as well. They were only 30 when they moved over. So I can really see it from their eyes now, but they went through the whole ordeal as well, because my dad mm-hmm. couldn't speak Swedish. He had basically never been here. My mom is Swedish, but we, all of us, went through such a transitional time in our lives. And I just had to, you know, I grew out of it, but I also changed schools, which I think was a very big moment for me. And just finding different interests that really made me happy. And friends that I could count on. You know, still a very small group of friends, but
that's someone.
That's basically what I had throughout my teenage years. You know, I had my rebel phase as well of acting out, you know, those years, because I was angry. I was very, very angry. But then again, circling back to, you know, when I was 20, for me, it was very natural to, and my goal was, I finished college and I'm going to move to another part of the world, and I'm going to work for the one of the biggest international companies in IT. And that was my goal. And, you know, when I hit 20, I was like packing my bags. I moved to Ireland, and I was like, I'm going to start my career, you know, put on my suit, had meetings, you know, for my first job with like two directors and one HR boss. And it was quite natural for me to just be in, let's say, a tough environment, or kind of a quite, you know, intense environment. And for me, I had experienced so much up until then that I was very fine with that. I was, you know, I was okay with that.
You felt prepared.
Yeah, I can prepare it. And it was the same thing when I was 23. You know, I was like, oh, you know, what's Madrid like? And I was speaking to my boyfriend at the time, and we were like, let's move there. Let's experience in a different culture, in a different, you know, country. And we moved to Madrid and just, you know, packed up our things and went there. And I started learning Spanish and finding, you know, a job. He was working as well.
And so that you are very, you know, talented and very, you know, an adaptable person. You can change, you know, different environments. And
yeah,
it seems that you are pretty flexible and, you know, able to find like a niche for yourself.
Those things I see more and more, and definitely throughout my adulthood, that has been a very positive, you know, character in my life, that I am very adaptable and I'm flexible, and I can, you know, now see things in a different way, I would say.
Yeah, because you have different perspectives, you know, from different cultures, like the two cultures that you were brought in, the American and Swedish culture, but then, you know, you changed later the countries again quite a few times, right? Yeah. So that gives you like a different vantage point again.
It does, mm-hmm. yeah. It definitely, like I said, life is a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. I know you and I have spoken about burnout before, mm-hmm. and you know, that's something that I specialize now in burnout prevention, because throughout this.
You want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, throughout this travel and wonderful, you know, 15 years from when I was 20 to 35 in the corporate world around Europe mm-hmm. and London, of course, that was fantastic. And I loved it, but I learned the hard way that I wasn't actually, let's say, as healed as I wanted, as I thought I was, or listening to my body and in connection with my mind and body. And for me, the stress and adrenaline was just like the fast life, you know, new city, new exciting things happening. Let's go. You only live once, you know, just.
So you continued moving later on as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I just want to experience as much as possible and see this. And also, I think really ticking the boxes of how mm-hmm. what life should look like, you know, get a good names on your CV and check that box. And I was in sales and to get, you know, good salaries and bonuses. And I was just really on this fast train where mm-hmm. I didn't see anything else. I didn't take notice of anything else, and much less my body, but what my heart and soul or passion really wanted. Mm-hmm. And it definitely, you know, it wasn't that, because I started having serious symptoms and had them almost for a year before I burnt out when I was 35.
Did you recognize those symptoms? Did you had any idea what was going on?
No, I didn't. That's the thing. Not at all. I knew that something was off. I knew that something was wrong.
Yeah, we usually feel that
In terms of because I saw myself as a healthy 35-year-old, and I'm like, I go to the gym, I eat pretty healthy, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink that much, you know, a glass of wine on the weekends, whatever. But I just knew that my energy was off and I wasn't feeling like a healthy 35-year-old. I felt like I was 85.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I kind of understand, because I had a burnout too around yeah. the same age. We are actually yeah. the same age. So.
Yeah, yeah.
It just feels that, you know, you, as you said, you are living a good life, basically, you know,
yeah.
nourished, you try to, you know, sleep enough, or well, sometimes maybe not, but anyhow, you live healthy. And then, yeah, at some point you start feeling so tired and you can't really recharge, right? Was it
yeah.
bad for you?
Yeah, for sure. And with that being said, you know, I went to all the different doctors for a year, went through all the tests. I mean, they thought I had brain cancer. They thought I had dementia. I was in dementia hospital. Mm-hmm. They thought it was, you know, 2-3 other different things. And they always asked me, you know, are you stressed? How is life? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on? Do you have children? And I was just completely unaware of, no, you know, I'm not stressed. I'm living a fantastic life. I'm building my career, you know, traveling, being at home. I was in Sweden at that stage, and just really enjoying life. But I really hit the wall, and it was literally, I called my boss up and said, I'm diagnosed with mental and physical burnout and depression, and I'm not coming to work. And I still thought I was going to be gone for like 3-4 weeks. And that after that, it was 6 months in bed. And then 2 years of trying to get back to a normal state.
Mm-hmm. So if you could tell us, what was your takeaway from this situation? Because many people around the world have similar problems, you know, as burnout is getting more and more common, so to say. I wouldn't
yeah.
say a popular diagnosis, but it's just the condition that is becoming more and more common, because we all are used to work so much and think about our careers, especially our generation, Because now it's changing a bit. It's more about, you know, this life and work balance, and you know,
yeah,
to balance those two parts of life. So what have you learned, you know, when you finally were diagnosed with burnout? You know, like what sort of, you know, enlightenment or did you have at that point?
It was a big wake-up call for me. It was huge. I mean, my life has completely turned for the better now. Thank goodness I finally found myself. And my biggest wake-up call there was I needed to actually get in touch with myself in terms of healing and trauma and everything else, all the emotions and things that I pushed down and didn't have time for, didn't want to feel, didn't want to take part of. Because burnout can come, you know, it can come from different places. It can, of course, it can come from work. I truly believe it's not
the
only work.
Problem, yeah. But not the only one.
Mm-hmm. It's usually a mix of things. Mm-hmm. And for me, I could go back again 15, 20 years and see everything that I wasn't taking care of or dealing with, or let's say pain, was just coming up. And it was basically telling my body, you need to stop. And since you aren't listening, we're going to make you listen.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens, because while we are talking now about your work, but you moved to different places because of your work. But then we have to also remember that you had quite a difficult experience when you were 10, because you moved the cultures, you moved the continents, you didn't speak the language.
Yeah.
And that was definitely something that had taken a toll on your well-being, on your health. But we tend not to, you know, think or not to connect all the dots when something like burnout or depression and anxiety happens when we are, you know, close to 40, right?
So
that's probably one thing to consider for people who feel that they may be experiencing burnout. You know, look back in your life, you know, look at your history and be, you know, sincere with yourself, be honest with yourself, whether, you know, you managed to take a good care of yourself or maybe not really, because those things are just piling up, isn't it?
It really does pile up. Even for me, I was in not the best relationship during that time in my life either. And I can really see now that was the kind of the thing that broke the camel's back, if we say, or the straw that broke the camel's back. 'Cause it was so many things of you go by life and you can get by and you're doing fine. And it's very easy to, you know, shut off your body or just cut off here below, you know, on your neck and be in your thoughts in your head and not feel anything else or not be aware of anything else. 'Cause this is things that are going on all the time with us. You know, we have experienced different things in life, you know, both good and bad. And really those things of coming up bad, if you're not dealing with them and healing them, it's a completely different, it will be a completely different picture. Mm-hmm. And I can say that kind of being on the other side of it
now you have a perspective, right? Because it's behind you.
And exactly. Mm-hmm. And doing the work, doing the work of everything and just work from getting back from burnout.
Yeah, exactly. What would be your advice to all people that have a similar problem? They feel that they may have burnout or they've been already diagnosed with burnout.
Yeah.
What would you advise to them to do in that kind of situation, you know, to start while feeling better, right? Because it's not going to go away by itself. So what is your advice to everyone in that sort of situation?
It would be really listen to your body and what you need. It's going to be so different for all of us individually, but I always recommend to, I mean, I went through 5 different types of therapy, restorative, you know, kind of restorative yoga, breath work, you know, therapist, psychologist. I went to healers. I mean, everything.
You were looking for help everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. And just
which is fine. Which is fine, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It. I mean, it helped me in a sense. I couldn't do everything at once because I wasn't. I wasn't at that point. I mean, the first step for me in healing was, I slept for, I mean, the first 6 months, I had to sleep. And I actually had, I went on antidepressants at that point as well.
Which is nothing surprising because your body is completely burned out, you're completely depleted. That's what
I need. Exactly. I needed that.
And I think with the antidepressants, you know, like they do help out. And then I know like, when you're on it and then your mood gets to a better point and then you just can't stop taking it. Like you have to like wean yourself off of it because.
Yeah. You know, that's like a normal thing. Yeah.
As a pharmacist, you know, like you can't just stop the medication.
No.
You have to talk to your doctor and make sure like you titrate off. Otherwise you can go back into depression or you can become a lot worse.
That comes really quickly.
That's
the thing, you know, being on antidepressants, if you are experiencing burnout, that's quite common because, you lack balance, right? Your body is not really balanced in a biochemical way. So, unfortunately, antidepressants are quite common, necessary to just, you know, start getting back to the point when you can start doing something with your life.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It is looking for the help and support that you need from all different areas. For me, was really, you know, it was resting because I physically couldn't move. I couldn't put my clothes on by myself. I couldn't walk to the bathroom, you know, 4 steps away by myself. So in that sense of getting better and better, I could then choose what type of support or therapy that I needed. And that, you know, that part really helped me. I was also in nature a lot. I was healing in nature at my parents' home. I had to move home to my parents because I couldn't take care of myself. So it was a number of things. But going through that healing and having that wake up changed everything for me. Mm-hmm. Like I thought I was happy in life before, but it is nothing in compared to how happy and at peace I am now.
Yes, because exactly. After this event, have a completely different outlook on your life. And we also change with time, right? What suited us when we were 30 or 20 something does not necessarily suit us when we are 40. So
And finally, just choosing or following my heart and my passion of what I wanted to do in life, that was a big lesson for me. And just coming into a place of healing and doing the work on myself, but also taking care of myself in a whole different way today. Because I still, you know, I still have some burnout symptoms. I still struggle, you know, cognitively, brain fog and memory and some concentration
problems with focus. Focusing. I know that all.
So and that's, you know, but I've learned how to live with that and how to be able to run my business and can now, you know, help others prevent burnout because you don't want to go through that. And
exactly,
I made that commitment where I don't want anyone to go through the suffering that I did because that was just
it's something horrible that we don't want to go through. Yeah.
No. No.
Well, we have to wrap up, unfortunately. But the most important things, apart from everything that you've said, to take away from this episode would be for all of you who think that you may be experiencing burnout or you've been diagnosed with burnout, look at your life and, as Rebecca mm-hmm. said, maybe just think whether you are actually doing what you should be doing, whether it's something mm-hmm. that gives you happiness and mm-hmm. fulfills you in some way, because maybe the burnout didn't happen to you just, you know, like that. Maybe there were like some deeper reasons why something like that has happened to you. So that would be also one of the takeaways. Well, thank you, Rebecca, for telling us your story. It's
yes.
a very amazing and complex story, but well,
thank you.
So that we get a good picture of you know how things can happen in life and
for sure. Thank you so much. Okay. I appreciate you for having the time for me here. Thank you so much.
No, it was a pleasure to have you on, Rebecca, and you know, thank you for sharing your story with myself and Dr. Estera. And you know, you just continue. I mean, you just kept going with your conversation. It was great. You were sharing a lot of important facts to us about resiliency and about how you battled with your situation and how you overcame that. And that's what resilience is all about. And, you know, for all our listeners out there, if you have a resilient story, please reach out to either myself or Dr. Estera. We are wrapping up season one. We have a few more episodes and then we will be going to season two next year. And in the meantime, I think Dr. Estera and I are also working on another surprise podcast that we will be revealing clearly to LinkedIn. And, you know, for anyone listening out there, if you have any comments, please just follow us on Anchor, and that's where our podcast will be hosted. So thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great day and a great weekend.
Bye.